Thanks, Jenna. All right, here we are, third circle for the year. And so our topic this year has been the evolution of consciousness. So this is related to the work of Law of One, which is a channeled work which happened back in the 1980s or in that time. I think I did write it down. Yes, it was the 1980s, where there a group of people, they had been doing work with channeling of various conscious entities. Particularly, they were looking at to try to connect to higher consciousness, extraterrestrial communication. They managed to connect to this being which had identified itself as what's known as a sixth density memory complex, in other words, a collective consciousness of a higher being. It had a name of Ra, so this is Ra, Law of One, and that although it did explain that it got its name Ra from its appearance in the time of Egypt, not that it considered itself to be Ra. It was what they called it at that time. In asking about its lineage, it actually identified itself as a collective consciousness which actually originated on the planet Venus about 2 million years ago or so, and that on Venus, interestingly, he said, because the human forms that were there evolved without opposable thumbs, whereas he said at the same time there were beings that were manifesting upon Mars which did have opposable thumbs, and he said the difference caused on Mars they turned to technology and built things because it was easier to create and do when you have an opposable thumb, and on Venus they had to use their mind a lot more and it pushed them into higher spiritual ways because they were less able to build tools, and so it moved them in a direction of accelerating unity consciousness. And so hence Venus became known for its love vibration because it moved them very quickly into love consciousness, because that's the field of the first level of unity consciousness. And they progressed very quickly then through the cycles of unity consciousness. So they are now sixth density beings, which part of their role is to give service to lower densities. They were able to come in. They have to observe laws of karma, so they can't give information which is not asked for or requested. They were able to make contact at the time of in Egypt, because at that time in Egypt they were very much a pantheist society, in the belief of many diversity of gods in unity to the all one, and that this kind of construct of belief sits very well with the Law of One teachings. And so in order to help serve the conscious uplift on this planet, they taught into that time to try and assist us with our evolutionary potential. They then felt that what they taught later became quite distorted, and so they felt a feeling of karmic responsibility that the teachings were not being held and they were not helping in the way that they had thought it would help humanity. In fact, they got turned around and were being used instead to enslave humanity in some places. And so they were looking for an opportunity to come back and again refresh this teaching of Law of One. And they chose this group because, yes, they felt they had a very pure connection. And so they, again, entered into a question and answer channeling with them, which was then recorded as a series of transcripts and eventually came out as the book called Ra, Law of One. So that's kind of the background to the work. What's very interesting, you know, this is such, when I came across this work, I was very intrigued by it. I could certainly feel a lot of it sometimes when you read things that, you know, we talk about the vibration of truth. You read something and you go, oh, I can feel this. You know, it has a vibration within it. That was my response to it. Initially, the recordings are very higgledy-piggledy because it just depends on what questions they asked as to what it answered. And you've got to remember, this is back in the 1980s, so the development of questions was, you know, where consciousness was back then. So we listen to it now, and I must admit it many times, I was like, oh, don't ask that question. That's a stupid question. You've wasted a whole session on that, you know. And, of course, the entity would only answer what was being asked, you know. And you could see that it was absolutely wanting to lead this way, and this would be the logical next question. And, you know, so it was a little frustrating sometimes listening to it. But then even when I did go through it, it was like, there's so many gems inside it, but of course it was not organized into any kind of very accessible structure. But what happened, then I came across the work of Aaron Abke, who has a YouTube channel, and he has done exactly what I was thinking, which was, you know, to chew the information and extract all the bits that actually go together and put them into basically a way that you can access it. And so from a combination of that and also on the lawofone.info, which is a website, they also did a wonderful thing where they categorized all of the transcripts under topics. And so you can just go to that website and go, okay, tell me everything I want to know about densities, for example, and then it will give you every transcript under that talked about densities. And so this made it much more accessible, and so this is the foundation of the work that we're sharing. I find it to be one of the clearest metaphysical explanations of the structure of consciousness I have come across. I found for me personally that it tied together many teachings from different disciplines, from many studies across many years, where I go, that's how that fits with that bit. And it just gives this nice big picture view of where it all goes and what's the structure. And this entity speaks so clearly about how things work I thought very worthwhile as a body of work to actually engage with this year. All right, so that's kind of the background. Where we are, what's the first thing in the evolution of consciousness is the premise of what this entity, Ra, speaks about as understanding that consciousness moves through cycles and that these big cycles are much more like notes of a scale. In that it's like, it has seven flavors, like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and then back to A again. And so it works light through the rainbow system of colors, and the cycles of consciousness work through what he calls octaves. So it's octaves of consciousness, as opposed to, and this is the description of what they call densities, which is different to the description of what sometimes we call dimensions. Dimensions are different because dimensions are to do with the construct. And when we talk about dimensions, truly we're talking about geometry and shapes. And this is why shapes organize themselves through cycles of nine, because they relate to the forms and the constructs within what we then play with our consciousness. So you have a cycle of seven and a cycle of nine. So we're talking about the cycle of seven, and we briefly have gone through from beingness, being the, so it's like source light comes into being in order to create form. So it starts off birthing itself from its possibility out of the infinite consciousness into form. And so the first form is really made out of the intersection of the elemental forces of earth, air, fire, and water. Yeah, they come into interplay, and that's in many ways the most pure form of the consciousness of the source creator who created it, because basically it's their pure thought brought through the elements into form. And so this is a very elemental beginning. And this is where the earth, air, fire, and water all, you know, mix and meld and rub. And eventually, out of that rubbing against each other, the waves going across the rocks and that kind of thing, this movement begins polarity, the first movement. Because, of course, once things are birthed in, you've got movement. And when you've got movement, you've got the beginning of growth of consciousness. Because why did the form birth itself in? It's to grow and know itself, to experience itself in the creation. So it goes through these different levels of density. So the first one, the beingness, which is really just the friction of energy and the initial creation of polarity. It moves from there into second density. Second density is now able to give support to more consciousness. So now we've got a consciousness which comes through movement and growth. So here you have pretty well, you know, plants and animals, from little amoebas, you know, or to the growth of plants, to the growth of animals. Here everything works very instinctually. So it finds, it comes to know itself in a way of just simply of how to relate to other things, like, yep, this will eat me, I will eat that. You know, it's a very instinctual existence. Through the rub of that, and each density, the one above it pulls to it. So like within this second density, what happens is that through the relating of the plants and the animals to one another, this eventually grows a level of communication, which is a beginning of self-awareness, which is actually then the third density. So the third density is pretty well the construct that we probably have all been born into. On this planet, this is a third density of planet. Third density is characterized by the growth of self-awareness. You can only grow self-awareness if you actually first experience separation. Because if you are simply in a consciousness of I am the one, infinite creator, then you don't know yourself as anything different. So third density is also characterized by what they call the veil of forgetting. So that we're born into third density, so without memory of our soul journey, nor with memory of the fact that we are divine. We are born into this construct. And in order that we feel separate, but out of that separateness, we go, oh, you know, I'm one of these. You know, and they talk about, you know, the story of, you know, dogs of, you know, moving from second density to third density. You can so see it. You know, they initially they're just like a pack animal, instinctive, responding to their environment. But then after a bit of time with humans, eventually some dogs will develop self-awareness. They go, oh, I'm not just dog, I am Ivy. And I can exert my consciousness to manipulate my environment, because I know that if I do this action, they will feed me, because it annoys them if I keep, because I know it's dinner time. And, you know, and so they start to manage their environment. And this is the beginnings of third density consciousness. We are at a point where our planet is actually shifting between third density and fourth density, and now is supporting both. And so we are in a shift time. And so what is the big thing in third density is that through this veil of forgetting, we begin our ego identity, which is we think this is who I am, yeah? But eventually we have to rub against everything, what they call the catalyst. So we continually to have experiences which catalyze us to give us experiences which teach us more things about ourselves. And through those experiences of learning about ourselves, we eventually get all the way through the third density, and we discover that we are actually divine, and that, oh, there is no separation, and, oh yeah, I'm actually part of the oneness. And in that moment, we can then polarize, because always it's about polarization, because this is how it knows itself, is through this action of what it is and what it isn't. And the polarization at that point becomes what's known as the choice, which is where we are now. On this choosing whether we polarize into a pathway of service to others or service to self, which is like a continuation pathway. There's a lot more about that and what is in that choice, but you go and listen to the other two. They were all about that. We then move on, ideally, into fourth density, which is where we are now also. This is the possibility because the planet now supports fourth density consciousness. which is really what we'd characterize as love consciousness. This is the beginning of the pathway of unity consciousness, where through this aspect of love consciousness, we start to reunite. So in learning our uniqueness and our diversity, we choose consciously to offer our diversity into the unity. And this is how the big construct re-knits back together, but with lots of new information. Yeah. And so this next level is the love consciousness density. It then moves eventually into the wisdom consciousness density of the fifth level. You could probably relate to those levels, like a master of the fourth density consciousness of love, you know, was Jesus. His teachings were all about love, love thyself, love, you know, love God, love, you know, treat each other how you would want to be treated. These are all teachings about love consciousness. Wisdom consciousness, you know, the master really that's come here that has had most teachings about wisdom consciousness is Buddha. Because you look at all of his teachings, it's all about managing the mind, mindfulness, non-permanence, you know, equanimity. These are all teachings of higher wisdom, non-attachment, understanding karmic principles. All of that it sits within this higher wisdom consciousness. The sixth ray, this is where the beings of the Law of One say they are. They say in the sixth ray, our soul is always across all levels. And so part of who we are already exists at sixth level, as it does at seventh level, as it does at first level. Yeah, we are always the whole, even though we experience ourselves as a part. And so they say at sixth level, your higher self, when you go, oh, I'm connecting to my higher self to get some information, it is your own soul at sixth density level that is speaking to you, is what they say. And the sixth level is where you get a unification of the love and the light, or the love and the wisdom consciousness together as one. Yeah. And then from that unity, you get to the seventh level, which is known as the gateway. This is where everything unifies, comes back into the oneness, and bursts itself into the next round of going back to beingness again, and does the whole thing all over again. All right, so that's a very quick journey through the densities. What I want to talk about today is associated with this and with the idea of, you know, as above, so below, as without, so within, this kind of thing, is that taking this macro picture of densities, but realizing we also hold all of this inside us, because of course we do. Everything out there, as the old teachings say, if you want to understand the universe, look within yourself. And vice versa. And so it's like, of course, within ourselves, we know we have the rainbow chakra system. And it's looking at what does our understanding of densities teach us about balancing our spiritual body. And so within this teaching, the first premise within spiritual balancing is understanding the work is always within. Like when our chakra body, you know, is out of balance, you know, maybe we'll go to a spiritual healer. Can you help bring this back into balance? And absolutely, they can probably balance you. What they can't do for you is remove the cause that caused you to be out of balance. Typically, you'll get rebalanced and, you know, some weeks later, you're back where you were again, going, I'm out of balance again. Mm. Because what is not shifted is the thought patterns, the emotional patterns that actually put you out of balance, yeah? The only work that will stick is, of course, is your own inner work. It has to be done from your free will. You have to choose to change and shift perceptions within yourself in order to make actual conscious growth. So, as they say, always, the work is within. The work is yours. People can show you, they can talk to you, they can give you ideas and strategies, but if you don't take them on, nothing will change. Yeah. There is no instant fix. No one has a magic wand to do it for you. So how they talked about this is within, again, I thought was a very good way of perceiving it, is that, so the first three levels, which is, you know, the one, two and the three. Now obviously there's quite a big shift, because at the end of the three you actually have to make that choice before you can move up into love consciousness. You actually have to choose between service to others, service to self, this particular what they call the harvest point, which is a point in consciousness where basically where you give yourself into true love consciousness, where you realize it has, you know, three characteristics of where you come into self-awareness, so self-knowledge. You come into self-acceptance, where you accept your foibles and also the foibles of others and go, okay, we are all divine and this is just our mechanism of growth. So we come into an acceptance and we come into the belief of that I am the creator and so is everybody else. So I see the divine in me and I see the divine in everything. Those three things are the benchmarks, basically, that help us shift between third and fourth. And it's a choice, a conscious choice that we actually make to choose to live by those principles and therefore be in what they call the service to other polarity. And service to others doesn't mean I just go around and serve everybody. Of course, it means because I am what I am the creator and so is everyone else. So I serve me, serving me serves everyone else as much as serving everyone else serves me. You know, it's not a me or them, it's serve it all, so we all grow. It's more from that end of the polarity. The opposite end of the polarity is very hard to achieve. You've got to be extremely intelligent. This is the service to self path, because you have to be so self-centered that you do not, all your decisions are only about you, and you are in the maximum of separation. To truly be successful at this point, because only 5% of them make it, they...
Sorry, is that when they jump?
Yes, they jump forth, correct. Yes, because what they do is they go straight to wisdom consciousness, and that's why they have to be incredibly powerful in the mind. Yes, but incredibly self-centered. Yes, to a very extreme degree. Not many make it, but someone's got to hold the polarity, so bless them. So, you know, they do that. And you've got this middle bit, so you've got the 5% at that end who go to service to self, and you've got this big polarity, and you've got to be at least 51% or above to be in the choice of service to others, yeah? And as a planet, Earth, you know, we scraped over the bar, and we are now a service to others planet as a vibration. And that the unchosen, who are between that 5% up to that 50% mark, they simply stay in third density until they get to conscious choice, and they will reincarnate in that way. So that's kind of where we are currently. However, back to spiritual balancing, it talks about that, okay, if we take the view of the densities as being related to our chakras, that the bottom three chakras all relate to what they call the primal nature, because in the first three densities, all of the growth is very instinctive, you know, animal natured. It's very much connected to the earth, the environment that you're in. So it's all about primal nature development. And so in Law of One, they group these bottom three lower chakras together. And say, you know, they work together to bring our beingness. And depending on the density that you are in, the full activation of the chakras relates to that density. So Ra speaks of most people on Earth as being of the yellow ray, because they said, if you looked at us, we are mostly active up to the yellow ray. And the upper rays are not as active. But this is kind of where we're in. And so that also saying that the characteristic of these lower three chakras is that they also, because they relate to our primal nature and really to our journey here on the earth, that they also are where in our processing of our energies, this is where, depending on what experiences we are having, so now that he talks about it as what catalyst we meet, depending on what catalysts we meet and how we perceive them and integrate them, he said, again, always there's polarity, there's choice. Every experience brings choice. Every experience brings you the polarity. So each time you have an experience, you either choose how it will serve you or how it will not. You either get a positive polarization or you get a negative polarization. Every time you take a negative polarization, in other words, you move into how it limits you, defeats you, reduces you, disempowers you, this shuts down to some degree the chakra that it relates to. And so it disempowers and weakens your lower chakras. Every time you polarize in a way that you go, okay, I've met the experience, I can see how I can learn from that. It might not have been a pleasant experience, but yeah, I can see how that can grow me. I can use it to actually, you know, move forward in a way that now I'll try some new things. You know, that didn't work, that's okay. I'll expand. And so we positively polarize out of the experience, and this actually strengthens and emits more energy out of those chakras that relate to those experiences. And that all catalyst that we experience is attracted by the bottom three chakras is the premise that they talk of. And that this is where the energy blocks or otherwise come from. And in speaking then about the upper chakras, that from the heart, the throat and the third eye, they call these the spiritual chakras. And that they actually are pure. And indeed, they actually never get blocked. Often we perceive they are blocked because of their relationship to the lower chakras, and that the lower chakra actually has the blockage, but we experience it maybe as a shutting down of the heart or a shutting down of the third eye, which I'll explain a little bit more. The crown chakra is different again and is not a center that needs balancing at all, because the crown chakra is really the barometer of all of the chakras, as well as the gateway to the cosmic. And so it holds its own special point, which doesn't relate to these others. So, going through them briefly. Is starting at the root chakra. So the root chakra relating to survival, sexuality, you know, this is our fear response, the energies that can block it relate to fear, sexual shame, also sexual distortion, lack of security, physical and sexual trauma. All of these kind of experiences can bring a reduction in the energy of the root chakra. To balance them, and this is another distinction that Ra makes, is that it's not about healing our chakras, because our chakras don't get damaged. What they get is distorted out of balance. And so this is why he talks about it as spiritual balancing, because it's all about bringing balance back to the polarity of each chakra so that it spins and emits energy in a healthy way. And so the balancing within the root chakra, very interesting. He talks about really the bottom three chakras. You'd have to say apply forgiveness readily, pretty well at every level. He says forgiveness is the most potent tool that we can use to move from third density to fourth density, because forgiveness has within it acceptance, a willingness to release, a willingness to get the lesson, to come into the gratitude, and a willingness to come into loving vibration. And these are fundamental to clearing energies out of any of these ones that get blocked. But in particular to the root chakra, he talks about that, yes, coming into a full acceptance of our own humanity, and just reminding again of those three levels that he said applied to all of it. There's know thyself, accept thyself, and either self-realization, or you could describe it as seeing the divine within yourself and all others. And interesting, within those three, talks about how that in order to accept yourself, you can only do that if you've already started on the path of knowing yourself, because how will you know what you're going to accept if you don't actually know what there is to accept? Yeah. And again, to actually get into accepting yourself, you actually need to come into beginning to change your view of who you are and appreciate you are not just body And you are not just the brain organizing what to do, how to do it, where to go. You are so much more than your body and your brains in your navigation. You have to come into this appreciation that, oh my goodness, I am spirit having a human experience. And that ability to come out and be able to perceive yourself and to see your thoughts and to see your emotions, this is the necessary first step of awareness that allows you to actually come into balancing. Because while you strongly identify with these fears, these traumas, and they define who you are, so you see yourself, I am a human who has had traumas and therefore I'm flawed and I'm less able. They will limit me because I can't get beyond this because, you know, I am a victim. This is what's happened to me and this is my life. When you perceive yourself as that, then you will stay stuck. You need to shift that perception into that next level that goes, I'm a human, have an experience. Some of these experiences are very challenging. Each one gives me the opportunity to keep reviewing it until I can find how I can get the learning of it, of what it teaches me about me. I get the acceptance of going, okay, it is what it is. I can forgive it now and let it go because I've harvested the learning of it. I can perceive I am a spiritual creature who has chosen to actually have these catalysts because this is actually how I grow. This is actually how I will come to know myself. Without these catalysts, I cannot actually evolve. Yeah. And so I come to appreciate the catalyst, just like you were saying before. Love those challenges. You know, I know they're going to grow me. Yeah. It's this kind of thing. It's when we get to that shift of perception and we stop thinking of ourselves as the time limited body. You know, we move from I'm born and I die and that's all there is to it. We have to be able to shift into the idea that we are on a big evolutionary journey that's, you know, goes across all of these densities. And these are necessary parts of our pathway. This helps us come into acceptance because then we can see that, oh, this serves me. I can see how it's part of my big journey here. And then I don't judge it, and nor do I judge others. It takes me out of judgment because I can perceive that they're in their catalyst. And, you know, it's not for me to rob them of their experience. You know, I can guide them, comfort them if they ask me. But, you know, I don't rob people of their free will and their possibility for growth and empowerment because that's what they've come for. You know, so it changes our perception of, you know, how we can accept others' behaviours. When people, you know, we think that it's their fault, we blame them, we can actually go, that's actually them as a soul have chosen that experience. They've come to interplay with me. I'm not actually responsible for their experience. I'm responsible for how I perceive the experience. And that's the only bit I'm responsible for. I can hold compassion for the struggle or the pain that they may be suffering, perhaps. And I can have compassion for my own pain and suffering because, sure, I will experience it too. But in our perception of it, we view it in a way that positively polarizes us into knowing ourselves, accepting ourselves, and appreciating this as part of the journey of divinity, and we are all in it together. Everyone is part of it. There is no separation. They're just another part of me having a different experience. So these fundamentals are necessary in the bottom three chakras, how they kind of tune in. They're all very similar. So for the root chakra, yes, to overcome the fears, shames, distortions, feelings of I'm not safe. It's, again, they're the three tools, the know thyself, accept thyself. And within accept, they talk about the know thyself is really the masculine perimeter. This is works it from the idea of mind, which then looks at what story am I telling myself about this? What have I learnt about this? You know, so it brings in the self-inquiry. The second part is the acceptance is the feminine. It talks about this is really the realm of coming into compassion and love. And it holds within it the tools of forgiveness because we need to be able to forgive. We need to be able to release, to let go. Yeah, to be able to shift the emotion, to allow the emotion to continue and flow. And so within the root chakra, It's bringing not only self-knowledge, but also full acceptance of your humanity and your spiritual being in human form. Because only within that shifting fear to love consciousness, where it comes into acceptance, so acceptance bringing forgiveness and eventually transforming it into love, this is what will balance out the fear. Fear will be balanced by love. The next ray, the sacral, brings us into all about relationship to self. So here, everything in what we think about ourselves, it sits in this ray. So here, our emotional traumas, our self-judgments, it talks about the desire to possess or be possessed. This is not talking about being entitized possessed. This is talking more about something I tend to call vampirism. Sometimes when we feel we are not enough, we feel unworthy, unloved, our common action is to try to hook on to someone who has what we feel more of what we've got. So it's like, well, you love me, and so I will get you to love me by my action. So it might be that I will try and, you know, tell you lots of sob stories all the time so that you give me lots of sympathy, because then I'll be fed by your attention, by your love. And so I'll, you know, be someone that, you know, always wants to get your attention in that way. Or I could be the other side of it, where it's like I will get your love by overwhelming you with my attention, giving away myself, you know. So I will, you know, run after you, look after you, you know, be your bestest friend for everything, and no matter what it costs me personally. So, you know, I give away the giveaway kind of self, the people pleaser to a very extreme thing. So it's, you know, you've got the two polarities of emotion, the one where I'm very needy and the one where, oh, let me just give everything to you so then you'll love me. But both of them are really motivated by wanting to be loved, yeah, because the what is not balanced is the emotional vector of relationship to self. I don't love myself, so I need to get it from somewhere, yeah. Sitting within this also is also addiction, because again, what are addictions but ways of, you know, propping myself up, either, you know, giving myself pleasure through overeating addiction or something like this, or escapism, so I don't have to face what I believe about myself. I can get away from who I am by drug addiction perhaps, or, you know. So again, addictions also feed into this sacral. Again, the balancing, forgiving the self, loving, accepting your own individuality, you know, coming to appreciate that who I am is okay, and I don't have to compare myself to who they are or who they are and try to be like them or them to be worthy. I actually find that my individuality, who I am, is the best expression I can actually give, and I'm here to be me. And so again, it is the acceptance of self, the knowledge of self, that allows you to balance out this chakra. Moving into the yellow, the solar plexus. This is relationship with others. So basically you've got basic survival at the bottom, then relationship to self, and then relationship to others. So everything within relation to others, such as social anxiety, jealousy, pride, the worship of others or wanting them to worship you. So again, this imbalanced kind of relationship of, you know, where we put people up on a pedestal and, oh, if only I could be like them. Or you put yourself up on a pedestal and say, oh, you know, I am so great. You know, please give me all of your attention. So again, it's where relationship is unbalanced and has this outplays. This is also where we see things like victimization of, you know, the poor me. Also, it's where a lot of blame comes in. It's their fault. If only they did that, then I'd be happy if they did that. And why can't they change? Because can't they see they're making me unhappy? And it's all their fault. And this externalization sits within this solar plexus chakra. Because again, the relationship to others, it's unbalanced. It takes no responsibility for what is my part in the relationship within that. It externalizes where the change has to be. And, you know, they may not choose to change, and that's okay. This is their choice. But you can choose to change how you are affected. Or if the principle is I cannot change how I'm being affected, then the other thing is then to remove yourself so that you are no longer affected until you can find balance and healing to, or, you know, rebalancing to those views, in which then, yeah, then you eventually test yourself again into either a similar situation will very likely come around again, because that's just how karma works. And you'll get tested again to go, how did you go with that lesson? And you're going, okay, yep, I'm managing it a bit better. Still got a few kind of little hiccups here. And they're going, great, did you learn from that? Fabulous. So you go around again. The lesson eventually will come back again. You go, okay, how are you affected this time? Mostly okay. Getting through it. Yep. Couple of tweaks, but mostly good. And so, you know, and so we grow. This is our soul growth. Yeah. And that. So these three chakras, again, the same within solar plexus, forgiving yourself, accepting yourself, but also releasing the need for approval is a big one that's in solar, the solar level, because obviously within relationship to others, you give them the power if you only feel good about yourself if you have their approval. So we give away our power because we want everyone to like us, which is, yeah, very human. That's why we're all in low density. But as we start to release that, as we come into, what you were saying before, where we come into where I love me, and so I don't actually need their approval to feel that I'm okay, then we find we are more empowered. This, of course, brings balance back into what really is a big power center of the solar plexus. So those bottom three, this is how they get balanced. When they are balanced, then as the upper chakras, the spiritual chakras, their function is to filter the energies of the lower chakras, obviously in our return to source. And so, interestingly, once it can all get through the gateway of the heart, which is the first filter, all of the upper chakras come online. So you don't have to wait for them to go one by one. They all come online as soon as you can get the heart to come online.
The upper three, you're meaning 6, 5, 6, 7?
The seventh one is different. The crown is not one that can be balanced. So we'll talk about that again in a minute. So these upper ones, they also relate to the lower ones in that when the root chakra is unbalanced, therefore running mostly its programs which are fear-based programs. The root chakra is where the fear consciousness really is most strong. Of course, fear is the very thing that is the polarity to love. So when we feel very blocked in the heart, in that we can't kind of get that heart opening or the feeling of dropping into heart coherence, they say that the best first place to look is to the root chakra, because the heart and the root connected together in that, because fear consciousness will close the heart. And so to be looking at, okay, where is the fears again, bringing your energy of forgiveness into that root chakra area and unpacking what's in there in order to work on opening the heart. The same with the throat. When the throat feels blocked, because the throat talks about your ability to communicate honestly, truthfully, it's your authenticity to speak, you know, who you are, what you are, to stand in your power in that kind of way. It's all to do with really your knowledge or belief about who you are. And of course it relates to your sacral area, because your sacral area is your relationship to yourself. And so if there are distortions in how what you believe about yourself, then it will translate to distortions or blocking of the chakra within the throat area. And the third eye has a relationship, of course, to the solar plexus, because the solar plexus, again, this is a relationship to others, the ability to, you know, to perceive others in a balanced way, to perceive the creator in all beings, which is very much the aspect of the third eye. The third eye is strongest. It's this aspect of self-realization where I can see myself as divine and all things as divine. It's also activated by self-empowerment, self-inquiry, and meditation. These are what help it turn on more. But if the solar plexus is out of balance, in that your ability to relate to others is distorted, particularly by judgment, then the third eye can't process that, because the third eye is processes when it can perceive the divine in all things. This is when it is most open. And when it is, when the solar plexus is in distortion, it helps to reduce what the third eye then can process. It talks about, so these bottom three chakras. Okay, so again, as I said before, experiences, how we perceive them, choosing negative or positive polarity helps them be more open or weakens them and close them down. The upper three all are quite pure, but because they are filters for these bottom ones, then where there is distortion in those, it affects their operation. The crown is the barometer of them all. So this is kind of like the unity of all centers combined into one. It's also the gateway to cosmic connection, and it does not need balancing. But if the others are not operational, then what you get in your cosmic connection, you can't bring it all the way down, because there you'll have, if you have blocks in the way down. Ra talks about that the heart chakra, coming back to there, the heart chakra is the portal to unity consciousness. So in order to make this jump into fourth density, we have to be able to come into heart coherence. This is the bit where we start to be able to knit everything back together again. We'll be able to re-glue the unity. So the first level of unity in fourth density is group consciousness. So the work of it is learning how to be group, learning how to actually work together as a collective field initially, within communities. So finding community and group consciousness is the beginnings of fourth density consciousness. And it's interesting that very much within a lot of spiritual work, group consciousness is what's talked about a lot, or unity consciousness, because this actually is what we're moving into, the field of being able to come into a heart coherence. It's also the center of compassion and forgiveness. And Ra talks about how being able to, if we want to bring balance to these lower centers, if they are out of balance, then the idea is to work to develop the feelings of compassion and forgiveness, and, you know, really what we would call heart coherence, you know, a loving vibration, gratitude, anything that kind of sits within that Ho'opono ray. Develop it here. And then imagine you're taking that energy down to the other chakras. So taking your green ray and then flowing your green ray into your root chakra and holding the green ray in that root chakra with your forgiveness in order to dissolve and balance fears and traumas and things and feelings of unsafety that might sit there. Or then, you know, breathing it into your sacral center, if that's where the work is feeling blocked, in going, okay, my relationship with myself, I need to be able to forgive myself for feeling that way about myself, for not valuing myself, for being human. You know, it's not about even, you know, blaming yourself. It's not about blame at all. It is about acceptance. I accept that this was where I was in my consciousness, and this is why these were my beliefs. But now my consciousness is shifting and I can let go of those beliefs, because now I'm moving to these beliefs. And so this allows us to release and let go in order to grow. We don't have to stay stuck with over-identification to old patterns. Yeah, the same with the solar plexus. Develop the green ray, breathe it into the solar plexus to get that release of relationship with others, where you let go of people, you let go of places, you let go of memories of others, of things of the past, of things that limit us. You're releasing lines of attachment in solar plexus, particularly because these are all about relationship with others, and you have to let go of your end of all of those threads. It doesn't matter if the other people don't let go of their end, that's their choice. They can hold on to their bit as long as they like. But your work is to let go of your end. Let go of your end so that you release the degree to which you are affected by others. You don't give them the power to affect your possibility. You release it and choose your own power. Okay, how did we go with that? All right, any questions in relation to that? That was a very kind of quick overview, but you kind of get the gist of it, I'm hoping.
Yeah,
yeah? Makes so much sense. All good? All right.